We read together now in the Gospel according to Luke at chapter 11 and verse 14. Luke chapter 11 at verse 14, continuing our journey through this Gospel. Luke 11, verse 14. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he's driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first." As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to embrace his truth and follow in his ways. Let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks that we follow a Saviour who has come to this earth and has promised to come again. But we also stand on the promise today that through your word, read and preached, this same Saviour can come to the minds and hearts of those who by your grace are open to him. So we pray that today you would lead us more deeply into his truth and lead us onward so that we in our own personality might reflect all that is good and true concerning him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, it doesn't matter how good we might be perceived to be, and it doesn't matter how highly we are praised for the integrity that may be on show to other people, there will always be others who will take a different view of us. You might have heard of the journalist Christopher Hitchens, who is part of a group that is known now as the militant atheists. It includes people like Richard Dawkins. And Christopher Hitchens caused some dismay some years ago when he wrote a book about Mother Teresa, in which he portrayed her in a totally different light from the one that we ourselves perhaps are familiar with and admire. He portrayed Mother Teresa as a political opportunist. who adopted the guise of a saint in order to raise money, and who promoted an extreme religious ideology which did the world no good at all and in a way actually harmed the welfare of the poor in Calcutta. Just last year when I was in America, I picked up a book about Francis Schaeffer. Perhaps we don't hear so much about him nowadays, but he was a Christian thinker and activist who inspired a whole generation of Christians. Francis Schaeffer encouraged all of us to engage with the culture of which we were a part, to embrace the things that were good, but to stand firm against those things which undermined the truth of the gospel. And for his very clear writings and his very powerful preaching presence, he was regarded by some as a great prophet of the times. But this book that I picked up was perhaps one of the most unpleasant reads that I've ever had in my life. It sought to question Francis Schaeffer's motivation. It undermined his work and drew a very large question mark against the effectiveness of his witness generally. And you know, it was written by his son. The book was written by his son, Frankie. So it doesn't matter how good we are perceived to be. It doesn't matter how highly praised we can be for the integrity that some people see in us. There are always others who will take a different view. And if we were ever in any doubt about that, then we just need to glance at this passage that we read earlier in the service. This story of Jesus releasing a man from the power of an evil spirit. It's one of those stories that we always feel a little bit nervous about, isn't it? But this is Jesus doing what he did rather frequently. Coming to a person who was in some way under the influence of a dark spiritual power. And Jesus releases this person from this power. And there are people in the crowd who are watching who are quite amazed at what Jesus has done, because the effect of this exorcism is immediate. But then there are others in the crowd who say, "Ah, right, we can't deny what's happened here, but we know how it's happened. He's been able to cast out an evil spirit because he himself is possessed by an evil spirit. We know there's power there, but it's not good power." And it's interesting how Jesus responds to this charge. You know, it's possible that he could make these people seem quite ridiculous because of what they're saying. But what Jesus does here is he responds to this charge, basically that he's no good, and that the core power behind his ministry is one of evil. And Jesus responds to this by setting up a very closely argued case for himself. And I think that's significant, because Jesus is placing faith in eternal truths. And he's also placing faith in the human mind to accept these truths. and that it's possible for these men who were the religious leaders of Jesus' day making this accusation, that it's possible for them to accept these truths, to be convinced, and to be converted. Now, we should never forget that, friends, because so often we hold back in sharing what we know to be truth because we have a feeling that maybe we'll just make a mess of it all. We maybe don't think that we're just up to the business of convincing other people about the things we know to be true. Just remember that when we're sharing the gospel, we're sharing eternal truths. Truths which flow from the very throne room of the God of the universe. And no matter who we are and what our position is in life or what age we are, these truths have the power to convince and to forget and to convert. These religious leaders who are levelling these charges against Jesus, they might have been as hard as nails, but Jesus still seeks to share his truth with them. And what are these truths that he wishes them to acknowledge and that he wishes us to acknowledge? Well, the first concerns the real power that is behind his ministry. They're saying that the power behind Jesus is evil. What does Jesus say? Let's just take it back to verse 15, where they say that it's by Beelzebub, for the prince of demons, that this man is driving out demons. And Jesus responds by setting up a picture for these people, or actually two pictures, one of a kingdom and another of a family, and saying, if a political entity is divided, if there is civil war within a particular kingdom, then that country will not stand. And he goes on to say that if a family is divided, if a family is at one another's throats, then that family will not stand. Both of these entities are undermined by division. So how is it possible, says Jesus, for Satan to be divided against himself? This supreme of all the unclean spirits, whose ambition is for power and for authority, how would he reasonably be working against himself in a matter like this? And then Jesus refers to the official Jewish exorcists, because these guys were around. And in Jewish thought, if you were able to expel an evil spirit from someone's life, then that was a sign that you were very close to God and you were open to the power of God. And Jesus says to these men who have accused him, where does that place your official exorcist? You're raising a question about how evil spirits can be expelled from a personality. Now, is it possible that your own boys are inspired by something evil? The problem with these men is that they cannot, possibly will not, recognize the power of God when it's staring them in the face. Of course, Jesus is not inspired by an unclean spirit, but they will not recognize that. They cannot see the finger of God sweeping through their land under the ministry of Jesus and bringing the kingdom of God down to where they are themselves. And you know, that same spirit can infect us in our life and witness as the people of God in this early part of the 21st century. You know, sometimes young people get really enthusiastic about the gospel and they're really pumped up. And they want to go out there and they want to convert the world. They want everyone to know about the excitement that they have found in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, ah, they'll grow out of that. That's just hormones. They'll calm down eventually. Is it possible that these young people are showing us something of the power of God in our midst? And then maybe someone has a deep conviction that maybe whatever they've got of their spare time should be devoted to people that we euphemistically call those who are on the margins of society, those people that can't really find a place in society that no one else wants to know. Someone has a conviction that they want to give more time to people like that, and we say, ah, she just wants to feel good about herself. Is it not possible that at a time like that, the power of God and His concern for those in darkness who have nothing, that power is being expressed through that personality? And perhaps if we hear that someone's sick, seriously ill, and never having opened a Bible for years, they start to read the Bible and they want to speak to a minister, and we say, well, we know what that's all about. They're just frightened and they're taking out an insurance policy. Is it not possible that the power of God is being demonstrated in that person's life? Are we responding properly? You know, somebody once said to me, sometimes as ministers, we need to stop trying to make things happen and step back now and again and watch what God is doing in a congregation. Do we step back and just enjoy what the power of God is doing in our midst? These guys in Jesus' day, they couldn't do that. They couldn't recognize the finger of God as it made things happen in their own time. Jesus wants them to acknowledge the power behind His ministry. He also wants them to acknowledge the person that He is. Now, this is the big question, isn't it? That we've been coming up against time and time again throughout the Gospel of Luke as we've travelled through these pages. Every now and again, the big question is asked, who is this man? And we know how Jesus wants to convince people about His integrity as the Son of God. And this comes through in that wee story that He tells about the strong man. Verse 21, He says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Now, Jesus has placed Himself in that wee story because He is the someone stronger. He is the one who enters into the dark citadel of the strong man. He is the one who binds the devil. And He is the one who takes away from the devil everything that he uses to harass our souls and to bring them down. Jesus is the someone stronger. He wants us to understand time and time again in this teaching that he is no ordinary man. There is no ordinary man who could take away the power of sin to devalue the quality of our lives. There is no other man who could take away the power of death to terrify us and to render us helpless in the face of an unknown darkness. And there is no other man who could enter into the dark heart of suffering and assure us that it has a purpose. But that's what Jesus has done. He has taken away all the armory of the evil one that he would use to keep us in his power, and he has rendered it all useless. Jesus is saying to us this morning, he says, if you want a teacher, there's loads of them around that can teach you stuff. If you want a political leader, the woods are full of them. And good luck to you if you want to follow them. But what you need is a savior. Someone who can enter into that dark place and rob the enemy of everything that he would use to diminish our lives. You know, as I was skating through the internet the other day, I came across the name of a Lutheran church in Florida. It's called the Lutheran Christus Victor Church. Christus Victor, Latin for Christ the Victor. And friends, that is the Jesus we follow. The one who is the victor over sin and over death. And that is why the Apostle Paul could stand so securely in his relationship with Christ the Victor and look at death squarely in the eye and say to death, "Where is your power to hurt me?" Thanks be to God, said Paul, he has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has entered into the darkest place of all and defeated the powers of darkness. And Paul says that is why we can stand firm in Christ. This is not a kid on that we can have forgiveness for even the worst of sins. It's not a kid on that we can go through the experience of death and enjoy eternity in his presence. Thanks be to God, says Paul, he has shared his victory over all of these things with us. And we can stand secure in this. So you see, folks, that's why Jesus is so firm about this. You know, if we're thinking about this Christus Victor, Christ the Victor, now this is not someone that you can just take or leave. You know, we talk about music like that. We can take or leave such and such music. We can take or leave a particular television program. We can even take or leave some people, but we can't take or leave Christ, who has done all of this for humankind. We either accept him or we reject him. There's only two responses. And that's what Jesus is talking about in verse 23 when he says, "He who is not with me is not against me." Sorry, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." You're either one thing or the other. You cannot be neutral in the face of this Christ who comes to us with these enormous claims. It's one thing or the other. I remember when Bob Dylan came out with his very first gospel album called Slow Train Coming. I was listening to it with a friend for the very first time, and there's a track on that album called Precious Angel. And there's one line in that song which says, "You've either got faith or you've got unbelief, and there is no neutral ground." You've either got faith or you've got unbelief, and there is no neutral ground. Now, the person that I was listening to this with bristled when they heard that. "I don't believe that," they said. But you see, I go back to the words of Jesus, and, you know, is he not our main man? And he says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." So Dylan got it right, as he gets most things right. What the gospel is saying to us this morning is that there is no comfort zone that we can take. We can't just go so far. Take a sip of Jesus. Read a few chapters of Jesus. Walk a few miles with Jesus. It cannot be done. Friends, he wants to possess us completely. And that is underlined by this other story. Strange story, isn't it? Where he says that when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Because there, Jesus is opening up for us the purpose that he cherishes for each and every one of us. Because what we're hearing there in that story is the story of a neutral soul. Somebody who wants a sip of Jesus. Somebody who wants a couple of chapters of Jesus. Someone who will only walk a few miles with Jesus. This is a story of someone who has been touched by Christ in some way, who has been impressed by him in some way. Something changes within them, but there's no absolute breakthrough to that point where they say, "I will follow Christ as the only Son of God." Something dark has left this person, but there is no complete welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is that the dark spirit returns with seven of his pals into that person's life. And his condition is worse then than it was at the beginning. To go just a wee bit of the way with Jesus actually places us in acute spiritual danger. That is what Jesus is saying here. You know, I was once speaking to a man who had a chronic drink problem. And it was a privilege to listen to his story. How eventually he went to Alcoholics Anonymous and he entered into a program of recovery. And he came through and he had control over his addiction. And he told me that he felt as if something dark had left his life, but in place of that there was an emptiness. There was a feeling that, okay, something good had happened, but he still wasn't sure where he was going. And it was only when he came to faith in Christ and committed his life to his ways that he felt fulfilled. and that he felt secure. It's like that fellow that Jesus helped at the beginning of the passage, the man from whom the evil spirit was expelled. Now, I doubt very much if that was the end of that man's story. What's going to happen now? That this dark force has left him. Will that space be filled by the power of God's Holy Spirit? That was the issue for that man. And you say to me, well, how can I be secure within myself when we're faced with this teaching? Well, that interjection from the crowd after Jesus has released this teaching, we're told that a woman in the crowd calls out to Jesus, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus says, "Hold on. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." The only status worth anything in the eyes of Jesus is the status of those who will hear his word and put it into practice. That is how we keep ourselves strong, friends. That is how we keep ourselves secure. That is how we go the full way with Jesus. When the word is received, it shapes our lives and it fulfills our purpose. You know, I was sharing with the prayer meeting the other night the story of the city of Antioch, which was evangelized by a group of Christians. It was one of the foremost cities in the Roman Empire, and the folk in Jerusalem hear about this and they send Barnabas down to find out what's going on. And Barnabas goes there and he finds a great work of the Spirit going on in Antioch, and he joins in and the church is built up. Now after that you would expect Barnabas to go back to Peter and James and John in Jerusalem and just tell them what's happening. But what does Barnabas do? He goes to the one man that he knows has the best grasp of the scriptures, the best grasp of the gospel, not only in his mind, but also deep in his being. He goes to Saul, who is in Tarsus. And he brings Saul back to Antioch. And together they engage in a year-long program of Christian teaching. Because Barnabas realized that if this great work of the Holy Spirit was going to be sustained, these people needed to be taught. And these people were hungry for that teaching. They turned up time and time again to listen to this word that they might put it into practice. Today in Advent, we remember the Word of God as it came to God's people thousands of years ago and filled their lives. Is that the reality for us today? Let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks for all the assurances that come to us through your Word and the challenges that are laid before us. We ask that we might be those people who are hungry for what you can provide for us, and pray that we might go forward into the future as a people who are as secure as Paul was. Let it all happen to me as long as my soul is safe with Jesus. Amen.